This is Jason Lopez with PodTech.net. At the Dow Jones VentureWire Healthcare Innovations Conference 2006 at the Sofitel Hotel in Redwood City, California. It is September 13th, 2006, and I'm here with Andy Kessler, who's a speaker, going to be speaking in just a moment at the lunch here on the second day of the conference. Welcome to the podcast, Andy.
Thanks for having me.
Your book, The End of Medicine, has really spurred a lot of talk about finally, because of IT, some of the costs of medical care might start to be impacted. I wonder if you could explain your idea in a nutshell.
Well, you know, I've been out here in either living or coming out to Silicon Valley for 20, 25 years, working on Wall Street, and learned long ago that the secret to Silicon Valley success is every time you bring the cost down of chips or software, whatever else, you get scale, you get elasticity. Some new application opens up to take advantage of these cheaper chips. And whether it was computers, cell phones, iPods, digital cameras, it goes on and on. And I said, gee, I wonder if the same thing can happen in medicine. And, you know, I started with information. I started looking at electronic medical records and the like. And I just didn't get a sense that you were going to save a lot of lives by lowering the cost of medical records. It's going to be done. I mean, United Airlines, you know, went to ticketless travel, yet they still have financial problems. So I think it's something that IBM or Microsoft will do. But what I started looking at was diagnostics. You know, are there things that technology can do to start saving lives? And what I found was quite fascinating was that there were silicon-based tools for early detection. And you know, I started with the big three expenses in medicine, which are heart, stroke, and cancer. And heart and stroke, it turns out the tools exist today. They're expensive, but the tools exist today to do early detection for heart disease and for stroke. And there are these CT scanners, these computed tomography scanners. And, you know, as I started looking into them, and they're chock full of silicon. They're the X-ray sources can be silicon-based. They're not yet today. But the sensors that read the information so you can get a slice of your body are silicon-based. And so I started looking at it. Up until 1998, these machines could just do one slice of your body, image one slice of your body per rotation of this X-ray source around you. And then in 1998, greatest thing happened, they went to four slices per rotation. Then in 2002, they went to 16 slices. And then today, you can get a 64 slice per rotation machine. So I was talking to someone in the business who creates 3D models out of this stuff. I go, let me guess, the next ones will be 256 slice scanners. The guy looked at me like I was a genius. Like, oh, you're an insider. You must know how this business works. I said, well, no, everyone knows those numbers, right? I own flashcards for my digital camera. It's always 4, 16, 64, 256. But more importantly, here's something in medicine that is on the same pace of innovation as Silicon Valley. And so these scans are $1,000 scans, so they're not mainstream. But as they become $500, $300, $200, $100 scans, the ability for insurance companies to reimburse for these scans, I think just goes through the roof, and they're going to be something that is going to be mandated.
Now, what about the culture of the medical industry? In at least in the U.S. medical industry, preventative medicine is really not on the minds of a lot of people. I can go in and I can get my heart diagnosed if I want to, but it's that encouragement really isn't there throughout every step of the industry.
And again, not yet, because it's still expensive. And so, you know, what technology always does is democratizes tools. So, you know, I look at it as like the original cell phone. It was the size of a brick you held up to your ear, and it was $1,500, and a couple hundred thousand executives had it. And today it's the size of a deck of cards and $50, and there's a billion of them sold every year. So the problem with the healthcare industry is that doctors, you know, the incentives are in the wrong place. It's a fee-for-service business. You get sick, they patch you up for a fee. You know, they take a Hippocratic oath, and, you know, they want to do what's best for customers. But the reality of it is they get paid when you get sick. There's no business model yet for something that is on the early detection side of things.
Now you've seen a crack in the market then.
That's
the crack in the market.
Who
fills that, and how does it get filled?
Well, I mean, you know, it's like we're back in the mainframe business. You know, scanners are turned out by GE and Siemens and Toshiba and Philips, and you know, these are multi-million dollar machines. But when you find the silicon, you just look ahead 5 years or 10 years, and you could figure out how cheap these things are going to get. And, you know, in reading mammograms, you know, most mammograms are read by two radiologists at $100 and something each, and they each are equipped with a, you know, a magnifying glass looking at black and white film up on a screen, and you know, it hasn't changed in 40 years. Yet, there is a tool that is now a third of mammograms. The second read is done by a computer. The slides are film are read into this device, and they look for patterns. And so all of a sudden, there's more cracks in the armor. And so the way to save the runaway costs in the healthcare business, $1.8 trillion, and it's growing double digits every year, is to get people out of the way, get doctors out of the
front. Now, some people would argue that it's the insurance companies you have to get out of the way, because the escalating costs have less to do with the cost of the equipment and the doctors, and more with how they're being actually employed or deployed.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you know, they mark up the premiums that they charge, and that's their profit. On the other hand, you know, maybe it's reaching a breaking point, right? You know, there's funny books that are written about tipping points. Well, you know, this one is a breaking point, right? You get to a point where it's just too damn expensive, and it starts breaking. I mean, especially on cancer. You know, Herceptin, which is one of the most effective cancer drugs, it's maybe 13% effective. $48,000 a year. And so at some point, the insurance company spreadsheets start flashing green, where it's cheaper to detect disease than it is to treat it on the back end.
What would their incentive be, though, to lower the amount of revenue being pushed through the system?
Well, you know, again, you know, they get paid for covering the insurance for a large group. So they can either raise their rates every year until they get pushed back, and they're starting to get pushed back today. Corporations are saying, I'm not paying anymore. You know, and Medicare is doing the same thing. They're saying, physicians, we're going to pay you 5% less. I don't care what you do, well, you're getting paid 5% less. But therefore, the profits will be in keeping us healthy, right? In other words, if you can detect heart disease early and prevent the person from having a heart attack in the first place, then they don't have to be rushed to the hospital and have $30,000 worth of procedures and stents and all sorts of stuff being done. Well, you know, that's the way it should be, right? They should be incented to keep us healthy, not wait till we get sick and pass.
I'm imagining an end around then, like a Google-type company that is not necessarily a part of the current infrastructure.
It has to be that way, right? Yeah. And it'll probably go to consumers first, as the wealthiest will say, I'll pay $500 for a heart scan. I'll pay $500 for this cancer screen. Sure. And then once the volume gets big enough, then it gets democratized and it gets accepted elsewhere. And it's all economics. I mean, that's what I bring to the party. I bring a look at the silicon business invading medicine and a Wall Street view of the economics. And I must say, you know, my book is mostly funny stories. I mean, it's a very serious subject, but doctors are kind of funny, and the book is just a bunch of funny things. But the end point is that the business is going to change. It's going to change drastically, just like the telephony business, computing business, you know, broadcast is being changed, movies are about to be changed, music is completely different than what it used to be. And these shifts happen over time, because silicon gets cheaper over time. But it's the message to the medical community and to doctors specifically is, you know, if you're flying blind and you don't have the tools you need, you're going to get displaced by a machine that can do a much better job of looking inside of us.
Well, Andy Kessler, thank you so much for your book, The End of Medicine, and thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you.